yard. Set our souls afire. From every town and every tribe, called of God and set aside. With the power from on high, anointed with your fire, we are the remnant, Lord. Use these souls of fire. We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of
Yahweh,
Lord, from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord. Use these souls of fire.
Good morrow to the set-apart remnant of the Most High, El Elyon. Divine influence be with you. This is part 4 of Remnant. You can follow along with the article by going to www.thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Remnant is found in the Word Studies menu. In the beginning of this series, we went over what some of the churches teach about who the remnant is. They say that the Gentile Christians are the spiritual remnant because God gave the church what the Jews rejected, which is spiritual redemption, salvation, and a relationship with God. The Seventh-day Adventists say they are the only ones that fit the part. The churches also say that the word Israel in the New Testament doesn't mean the literal Jewish people, because they no longer are his people, and Christians who accepted Jesus in their heart and claim they are saved have now taken on the name of Israel in a spiritual sense. The churches are so constipated with false doctrine they need a good Baal movement. So we have seen in the Old Testament that the remnant are obedient children of Israel that knew and followed the way and trusted in Yahweh. This will continue as we finish out the Old Testament verses, and will continue in the New Testament as we will see the focus of the remnant of the B.C. Israelites shift to their descendants in the New Testament, the A.D. Israelites. The B.C. Israelites that were preserved through all the punishment of that mean old God were promised that their descendants would be regathered and reconciled under the renewed covenant by the shed blood of Yeshua Christ through repentance and a change of lifestyle back to the way. Their descendants are not Gentiles, believers, other races, or the church. The covenants and promises of Yahweh to the B.C. Israelites are being fulfilled in the A.D. Israelites, the very same peoples whose ancestors were the remnant of their day. Today, we are these same descendants of the B.C. and A.D. Israelites, and just like back then, only a remnant followed the way. So it is today. If you understand these things, and that all the churches, their pastors, and the people in them are no different than the stubborn, stiff-necked ancestors of ours, and you live according to the way and trust in Yahweh, then you are part of the remnant. We continue in Micah 4:7, and I will make her that limps a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and Yahweh shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. The phrases, her that halteth, or limps, her that is driven out, her that I have afflicted, and her that was cast far off, all refer to the children of Israel in the Assyrian and Babylonian deportations. Ezekiel 34:16, I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. These are the children of Israel that were lost, cast off in punishment. The churches teach that they disappeared. These are our ancestors that went on to settle the white nations of the world today. The churches teach that all non-Jews are Gentiles, and that they make up the church, and it takes the place of these Israelites. But Christ said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He came for his lost sheep. Those of the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities that were scattered and forgot who they were. The ones that returned to the way, to Yahweh, and continued in their true heritage and in obedience, are the remnant. Micah 5:3. Therefore will he give them up, until the time that she which travailed has brought forth. Then the remnant, or the remainder, of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. She which travaileth is Israel, and the children of Israel would therefore be given up until the time when she brings forth the ruler, prophesied in verse 2. The children of Israel were alienated from Yahweh in the Assyrian and Babylonian deportations, and then later they were reconciled in Christ. His brethren is referring to Christ, the one to become ruler in Israel. Verse 4, And he shall stand and shepherd in the strength of Yahweh, in the majesty of the name of Yahweh, his Elohim, and they shall abide, for now he shall be great unto the ends of the land. And this can only describe the Messiah himself. As for the phrase, and they shall abide, the reference is to the remnant of his brethren and children of Israel in verse 3. The people of Elohim can only abide in Christ. The ruler in Israel became great unto the ends of the earth, because many Israelites in their dispersions accepted the gospel of Christ when it caught up with them. Verse 7. And the remnant, or, and the posterity of Jacob, shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from Yahweh, as the showers upon the grass, that tarried not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant, or, the posterity, of Jacob shall be among the nations, in the midst of many people as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up upon your adversaries, and all your hated enemies shall be cut off. When Nineveh was destroyed, the Scythians, who were Israelites, were in league with the Medes as well as other tribes of the Adamic society, the Genesis chapter 10 nations, and dwelling among the Medes, Persians, Babylonians, and others. And they crossed Anatolia soon after the destruction of Nineveh, beginning the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 66:19. The Scythians did indeed come to dominate the other nations, which they were settled amongst. The Parthians, a branch of the Scythians, conquered and ruled over all of Mesopotamia and Persia for several centuries and through the Roman period. Yahweh's remnant always becomes a strong nation. This is why he purges the habitually sinful majority, so that the tree may bring forth good fruit. The unfruitful branches are cut off. There are over 33,000 unfruitful branches of Christianity, all of which subscribe to Jaime Jesus and the Get Along Gang, all of which are abominations, and not one person in them are of the remnant, unless Yahweh draws them out of it. Micah 7:18. Who is an Elohim like unto you, that pardons, or lifts up, iniquity, and passes by the transgression of the remnant, or the posterity of his heritage? He retains not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. Mercy for the vessels of mercy. The children of Jacob are the vessels of mercy. If it were not for the promises made to Abraham and the covenants made with Isaac and Jacob, we would all be destroyed with no remnant. Yahweh raised up the Babylonians to punish Jerusalem for their iniquities. The Babylonians themselves were prideful and unjust. They were very cruel to Israel. After the Chaldeans' conquest, they were destroyed by the Persians. Habakkuk 2:8. Because you, the Babylonians, have spoiled many nations, all the remnant, or remainder of the people, shall spoil you, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Those who remain of the nations which Babylon had conquered shall in turn conquer and spoil the Babylonians. This happened when the Persians rose up under Koresh. The day of wrath. The judgment has been decreed. Repent. Seek righteousness, and you shall be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. Zephaniah 2:7. And the coast shall be for the remnant, or for the remnant of the descendants of the house of Judah. They, the flocks, shall feed thereupon. In the houses of Ashkelon they shall lie down in the evening, for Yahweh their Elohim shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Yahweh speaking, I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Yisrael, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Even the breeding place of weeds and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue, or the posterity of my people, shall spoil them, and the remnant, or and the remainder of my people shall possess them. Zephaniah 3:11. In that day shall ye not be ashamed for all your practices, wherein you have transgressed against me. For then I will take out of the midst of you them that rejoice in your pride, and ye shall no more be proud and arrogant because of my holy mountain, meaning the kingdom of Israel. The Septuagint reads, In that day you shall not be ashamed of all your practices, wherein you have transgressed against me. For then will I take away from you your disdainful pride, and you shall no more magnify yourself upon my holy mountain. This could be talking about Israelites, but seems to reference the Jews. The reference brings us to Matthew 3:9. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that Elohim is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. This seems to prophesy the Edomite infiltration into the priesthood and the ministry of Christ. The Jews claim Abraham as their father. They came from Esau, who was an Adamic man, a Hebrew. But since he race-mixed with Canaanites, his descendants are not purebloods, therefore they are bastards. Deuteronomy 23:2, A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yahweh. Only unmixed children of Jacob count for the blessings and promises. Verse 11 may also be a reference to the temple. The Jews were so arrogant because they thought they were something, because they had Yahweh's temple. Verse 12, I will also leave, or spare, in the midst of you an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of Yahweh. There were afflicted and poor people among the ruling class of Edomite Jews at the time of Christ. Verse 13, The remnant, or the posterity of Israel, shall not do iniquity, or injustice of speech, nor speak lies, Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. The remnant are always the meek, the poor, the humble, the obedient. Haggai was the first prophet to prophesy after the Babylonian captivity. Haggai 1:12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, with all the remnant, or with the remaining posterity of the people, obeyed the voice of Yahweh their Elohim and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their Elohim had sent him, and the people did fear before Yahweh. Then spake Haggai, Yahweh's messenger, in Yahweh's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, says Yahweh. And Yahweh stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Yehuda, and the spirit of Yeshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant, and the spirit of the remaining posterity of the people. And they came and did work in the house of Yahweh of hosts, their Elohim. Cyrus, or Koresh, king of Persia, in 536 BC, allowed the Judahite remnant to return to Yerushalayim. Koresh was likely an Israelite. Koresh was a Yahweh worshiper and was anointed by Yahweh to perform his will. The Persians were racial kinsmen to Israel. Haggai 2:1. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of Yahweh by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Yehuda, and to Yeshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and to the residue, or the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left, or who survived, or who is spared among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says Yahweh, and be strong, O Yeshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith Yahweh, and work. For I am with you, says Yahweh of hosts. According to the word that I have covenanted with you when you came out of Mitzrayim, so my spirit remains among you. Fear you not. The remnant is directly connected to the promises made to Abraham and the covenants made with Israel. This is why a remnant of each tribe of Israel shall be saved. Yahweh keeps his promises. He decreed judgment, punishment, captivity, and preservation through it. The ones that accepted it and trusted Yahweh were brought through it and were allowed to return to Jerusalem. The obedient remnant will always be spared and preserved. Back from Babylonian captivity, the people are rebuilding and repopulating Jerusalem. Zechariah 8:6. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, If it be beyond one's power, in the eyes of the remnant, or the remaining posterity, of this people in these days, should it also be beyond one's power in my eyes, says Yahweh of hosts? The Septuagint reads, Thus says Yahweh Almighty, If it shall be impossible in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, shall it also be impossible in my sight, says Yahweh Almighty? Do you think I have limits like you do? This is also a prophecy of the gospel and reconciliation of lost and scattered Israelites. In the days previous to the punishment and captivity, there was much affliction, and everyone was against his neighbor because of the national apostasy. Verse 11. But now I will not be unto the residue, or the remnant, of this people as in the former days, says Yahweh of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the skies shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant, or the remaining posterity of this people to possess all these things. The Septuagint reads, But I will show peace. The vine shall yield her fruit, and the land shall yield her produce, and the heaven shall give its due. And I will give as an inheritance all these things to the remnant of my people. Psalm 67:6. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and Elohim, even our own Elohim, shall bless us. When we are living righteously and in the way, we are a prosperous seed. We have good fruit, because we are witnessing and demonstrating to Yahweh that we are His remnant. Zechariah 14:1. Behold, the day of Yahweh comes, and your spoil shall be divided in the midst of you. For I will gather all nations against Yerushalayim to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses looted, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue, or the remnant, of the people shall not be cut off from the city. This happened during the Assyrian and Babylonian invasions, and America today. The aliens are everywhere. Our women raped by blacks and Muslims. Our children's faces are eaten off by third world country illegals. And debt and usury are forms of captivity. Yet, then and today, Yahweh keeps Himself an obedient remnant. So we can clearly see that in the Old Testament, the remnant is the children of Israel and no one else. We saw no prophecies stating anyone other than Israelites as Yahweh's remnant. The theme is the same in each book. The children of Israel are Yahweh's chosen people. When Israel as a nation fell into apostasy, they were punished and purged, and only an obedient remnant was preserved. Let's continue and see that the New Testament is also about the children of Israel and none other, and that Yahweh's remnant are those who seek, follow, and obey Him. The Old Testament addressed the sinners, and the ones that would be preserved were identified as the obedient remnant. In the New Testament, starting in Romans, the obedient remnant is usually being addressed, and the sinners are identified as the rest, or the class being considered as outside the remnant. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Luke 18:9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and looked down on others. Despised is G 1848, exuthenejo, and means to make of no account, least esteemed, contemptible. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, Elohim, I thank you, that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto the sky, but smote upon his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you this, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house, declared right by Yahweh, rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. The Pharisee boasted that he was not a sinner, and proclaimed his own righteousness through his fulfillment of tithes and fasting, the things which men perform merely to display their own justification, as if they are made righteous through that display. In that manner, those righteous displays are no better than rituals or atonements. This goes for those who, by their own declaration, claim they are saved, which is not a biblical teaching. It's a church programming. Salvation means preservation, which means that it is ongoing if you practice Yeshua's example. Scripture does not teach once saved, always saved. The very definitions, meanings, and examples of the word saved in Scripture show prove and demonstrate that being saved, according to Scripture, is being preserved in this mortal life if you follow the instructions given in the laws of our heritage. The ones that know this and obey it are Yahweh's remnant. In verse 9 and 11, others, or other, is G3062, loipoi, and means remaining ones, remnant, rest, the rest of any number or class under consideration. With a certain distinction and contrast, the rest of the things that remain. Loipoi is a plural derivative of G3007, lipo, and means to leave, to fall or be absent, destitute, wanting, to lack. So of the two men, one was proud and arrogant, boasted of performing works, and basically stated he was not a sinner. The other man was humble, sincere, and acknowledged he was a sinner. If this man was justified, then it can be concluded that he knows he is not perfect, that performing rituals and going through the motion of obedience does not make one righteous or justified, and that he is sincere and gives an effort to show Yahweh that he knows he is the justifier of sinners. Most people are like the boastful Pharisee. The ones that are humble and sincere are the remnant. In verse 14, other is G1565, ekinos, and simply means other. The other in verse 14 being the Pharisee. I point this out because the two classes of people being examined by Yahweh, the loipoi others and the ekinos others. The loipoi others are the group that is sincere and humble, the remnant. The ekinos others are the others, the rest, not the remnant. The arrogant ones, the ones who have exalted themselves as being saved and secured for the rapture, and believe that the Lord Baal's grace is sufficient, and all you have to do is just believe and accept Haimi Jesus into your heart. The resurrection of Yeshua, Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of Prince Yeshua. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the ground, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Adam must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to the rest, or the remnant. It was Mary of Magdala, and Joanna, and Miriam, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. The Geneva has the rest in verse 9 as the remnant. In verse 10, other is also from loipoi. The only other people with them were of the remnant. In Acts chapter 2, we see the outpouring of the Spirit which occurred at this first Pentecost, which was in fulfillment of the prophecy found in Joel chapter 2. Peter addresses the crowd as brethren, Israelites, speaks of David, and reiterates genetics because he is speaking to Judahites of the same seed line, and gives a sermon on the gospel of Christ, reminds them of the promises to Israel, and to repent for being ignorant Judeans because they were part of Christ's death. Many received his word. Acts is a record of how Christ and the gospel affected his kinsmen, and redirected their thinking and their loyalties. Because of Christ's powerful influence, men's spirits changed from seeking idols to seeking truth. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest, and to the other of the apostles, Men, brothers, what shall we do? Repent, and return to Yahweh. The Romans are Israelites of the branch of Judah that founded Troy and Rome, and did not know who they were, because they left Egypt before the Exodus. They are some of the wild olives and lost Israelites. Paul is reminding them who they are and whose they are, and uses references from Hosea about this amnesia they are experiencing and why. Paul is speaking to his kinsmen about the gospel message, that their forefathers were scattered and cast off from the presence of Yahweh because of their constant transgressions. He's calling them back through the gospel. The ones that respond are joining the remnant. Romans 9:27. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant, or a few, shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will Yahweh make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except Yahweh of Sabaoth, or armies, had left us a seed, we'd have been as Sodom, and have been made like unto Gomorrah. We deserve total destruction, but because of Yahweh's mercies, which is his loving commitment to us because of the promise he made with Abraham, it overrides the penalties of the law, which is death. We deserve death, all of us. Yahweh leaves a remnant of each tribe of Jacob, the ones who follow after righteousness and in true knowledge and understanding. We clearly see in the Old Testament that all Israel was not saved, only a remnant. But Romans 11:26 says, All Israel shall be saved. Do we have a conflict here? Romans 11:26, And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Isaiah 45:17, But Israel shall be saved in Yahweh with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. Paul either misquotes Isaiah or he understands that a remnant of each tribe of Israel which has reverence shall be saved. If all is saved, where is the remnant? If the remnant are of the reverent ones, the rest must be the irreverent ones. Is Christ going to make the irreverent ones reverent? Or will some of them turn from their irreverence and be reverent? Some churches teach that Christ's righteousness replaces our unrighteousness when we accept him. The true remnant understands that we must replace our unrighteousness by imitating Christ's righteousness daily. Verse 27, For this is my covenant unto Jacob, when I shall take away their sins. Isaiah 27:9, By this therefore shall the iniquity of Jacob be purged, and this is all the fruit to take away his sin, when he makes all the stones of the altar as chalk stones that are beaten in sunder, and groves and images shall not stand up. Jeremiah 31:31, Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. No conflict. The phrase, All Israel shall be saved, is a reference stating that a remnant from each of the 12 tribes of Israel will be preserved. The gospel message is to the irreverent lost Israelites. Another note, does it say the deliverer will turn away ungodliness from the church and the Gentiles? No. It says from Jacob. Are there some Israelites in these churches sitting in their own irreverent pew? Yes. It's our job to bring these lost, irreverent, and brainwashed kinsmen the fresh air of the gospel and let Yahweh draw whom he will. The ones that respond are added to the remnant. Most will not respond. They love Jaime and their blended Christianity too much. In Romans 9:27, remnant is G2640, katal imema, and means a remainder, a few. Many are called, few are chosen, few are his remnant. Romans 11:5, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant, or a remainder, according to the choice of favor. Only a remnant keeps the word, even today. The churches are not the remnant. In fact, they are a mass of supporters of false doctrine and Jew worship. The election, or choice, of grace, or favor, are we who are of the seed of Abraham, who are shown favor because of the promises made to Abraham's seed. Few of us actually live according to the heritage and laws of our people. The Greek reads verse 6 as, but if in favor, no longer from rituals, since favor would be favor no longer, or else the favor no longer is coming to be favor. If we receive favor by performing rituals, then what good is favor if all we have to do is a ritual? What would we need Christ for? We could just do rituals and claim we're saved. Yahweh wants obedience and righteousness, not empty rituals and lip service. Verse 7. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the chosen has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Yahweh chooses who sees and who does not. Only a select few will see because only a remnant is chosen. The rest are blinded. So is 75% of Americans who claim Christianity the remnant with eyes and understanding? Or is only 1% the chosen and the rest of them are blind and ignorant? The rest, in verse 7, is the number or class under consideration, the ones that were blinded. If 75% of Americans were Christian, why is America and society and people's morals so satanic? Why are they all still eating pork, dropping monthly tithes for their subscription to Satan's glass toilet? Why are so many sick and in calamity? Why don't they know anything other than how to just believe that they are just Gentiles saved by grace, and all you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and know that his grace is sufficient? It's because they're not his remnant. They don't believe his words. The Resurrection Body, 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You fool, that which you sow is not quickened, except it die. The Greek has it as a question. Foolish, that which you sow, is it not made alive even if it may die? John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. Verse 37, and that which you sow, it is not the body that you sow that will be producing itself, but a bare grain, whether, for example, of wheat or of any of the rest. The rest are tares, children of darkness. Verse 38. But Elohim gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies, and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Celestial bodies are of the generations of Adam, a certain race with the spirit and DNA, born from above into this corruptible body. Terrestrial bodies are those born of earth. These are the other peoples of the earth. They are not of the generations of Adam, are not born from above, and therefore do not have that same spirit and DNA of Yahweh. In verse 40, glory is used only once in the Greek and with the celestial. The glory used with the terrestrial is in italics, which means it was added. The terrestrial bodies are not the children of Yahweh. We are seeing here in the New Testament that the remnant are the ones being addressed, and that the others, or the rest, or the larger group remaining, are not of the remnant. The New Testament is speaking to the remnant. The Old Testament is speaking about the remnant. The Old Testament addressed the larger groups, which were the unrighteous sinners, calling them to return to Yahweh, and that they will be punished if they don't. The remnant are promised preservation. The Old Life and the New, Ephesians 4:17. In the Greek, therefore I say this, and I call you to witness with authority. No longer are you to walk as the rest of the nations, who walk in the vanity of their minds. What nations? The Genesis chapter 10 nations, and the Israelites of old and of today, walking in worthless doctrines and believing in worthless gods. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Without understanding, we are alienated from Yahweh. This is not talking about converting Jews, which is impossible, for they have no light in them. It's referring to Israelites who fell away from the way, fell away from the belief. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, Israelites' eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Elohim, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, and inheritance among them that are sanctified by the belief that is in me. Verse 19, who being past, showing no sorrow, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with arrogance. But you, not in this manner do you learn from Christ. If so be that you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Yeshua, that you put off concerning the former mode of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the renewed man, which after Elohim is created in righteousness and set apartness. Our ancestors had a problem with worshiping other little g gods. Today, our people have a problem with worshiping Jewish Jesus and his father, the Lord Baal, and don't forget all the sports, music, and movie stars, selfies, and any other images, idols, and abominations people put before Yahweh. The remnant is set apart from these religions, these false gods, and from all these people who are supposedly saved and call themselves Christian. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. True Christian Israelites knew when the appointed times, Shabbats, and feast days were, and to keep them. How many churches keep the appointed feasts? Do they even know which ones and when? They keep the Passover, but none of the others, which is strange because the other feasts are just as relevant and are part of our heritage. If all these feasts were for Jews, then why did the churches observe only one of them? They usually prepare a ham on the Passover as well. Yahweh's true remnant would never taste swine's flesh. We understand that it was lost Israelites that were made clean, not pigs and catfish. Verse 2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Master so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, or as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. So-called Christianity has 33,000 denominations. They are nothing but sleeping spells for the masses. The Greek reads sleep as drowsing or down-lounging. Is this not what churchianity teaches? You're saved, so all you have to do is just believe and wait for the rapture. Down-lounge. Don't rock the boat. Just tolerate and make peace with the evil. You are under grace, and the law was done away with. And besides, Christ's righteousness takes the place of your unrighteousness because you've accepted him. The remnant is hearing and responding to the gospel. The rest are still sleeping. 1 Timothy 5:20. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others, or the rest, also may fear. Rebuke publicly. The churches do not follow this example. Titus 1:13. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the belief. Verse 21. I appeal you before Elohim, and the Master Yeshua Christ, and the chosen messengers, that you observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. The scriptures teach no tolerance for habitual sinners, nothing by partiality. Why did the churches teach the opposite? Because the churches are factories for molding minions of darkness who teach others how to become drowsy down-loungers. Again, we see Paul addressing the remnant, the ones that are already nurturing and deepening their knowledge and obedience to the way, being grounded in the belief. Only the remnant knows and keeps the belief. Revelation 2:24. But unto you I say, and unto the rest, or the remnant, in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. The doctrine spoken of in verse 24 is really no different than what is taught in the churches today. Scripture that's upside down and bass-ackwards, the opposite of the Word. The Word does not teach you to eat pork and unclean animals that are still the garbage disposers of the world and are not considered food by Yahweh. If they were clean, then what took their place as the garbage cleaners? Or did Christ's death cleanse decay, bacteria, and garbage too? There is zero common sense in the churches. The Word does not teach you to race mix and commit fornication. The Word does not teach that the law was done away with and all your future sins are forgiven and you're under grace and destined for heaven. The Word does not teach that Israelites of the Bible are Jews or that Jesus is a Jew. The churches teach these lies. The age of Thyatira was approximately 604 to 1517 AD and covered the period of persecution at the hands of the papacy. In this period, many pagan and unscriptural doctrines carried into the true doctrine, such as pagan holidays and ceremonies, Easter and Christmas, the worship of Virgin Mary to bring in worshippers of Semiramis, and Christ is reduced from a man to a child held in Mary's arms, and the worship of saints and popes as mediators between God and man. The ones that stood firm in the belief and rejected all the other beliefs during this time were Yahweh's remnant. Revelation 3:1. And unto the messenger of the assembly in Sardis write, These things saith he that has the seven spirits of Elohim and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you live and are dead. Be watchful and establish the things which remain, or establish the remnant, that are about to die. For I have not found your works complete before Elohim. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, and hold fast, and repent. If you therefore shall not watch, I will come on you as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few people, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Your garment is your skin color, your race. Do not defile your race with one from another. These few people may have been those that followed Martin Luther. Verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. In verse 2, the things which remain is G3062, Loi Poi. The Reformation started in the age of Sardis, which is roughly between 1517 and 1789 AD. The ones in Sardis that have not been deceived by strange doctrine and that have not race mixed are the remnant of that time. We see that those who overcome will be clothed in white raiment. Overcome means endure to the end. Being saved, just believing, and waiting for the rapture are not how you overcome. And if you believe those church lies, then you probably didn't catch the verses that say you will be blotted out of the book of life. There is no such thing as once saved, always saved. The remnant presses toward the mark for the prize, not claim they already have it. It's not up to you. Chapter 11 is about the period of the Reformation. Revelation 11:13. And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted, and gave esteem to the Elohim of heaven. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of Elohim, and have the testimony of Yeshua Christ. Genesis 3:15, And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Of course, the dragon represents the devil and his Jewish children. The woman is the tribes of Israel, and the remnant of her seed are those Israelites that keep the commandments of Yahweh and witness the true gospel to the true lost Israelites. Revelation 19:19, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant, or the rest, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. The mark of the beast can be a number of things. When it comes down to it, you either have the mark of the beast or the mark of Yahweh. If you are part of any of the 33,000 denoms of so-called Christianity, if you believe in Jewish Jesus and the Get Along Gang, if you are in and of the society and flow of the mainstream way of life, if you think you're saved and will be raptured, then you have received the mark of the beast. If you have true knowledge and understanding, if you walk in the way, if you believe Scripture and believe in Yeshua Messiah and his prophets and apostles, and if you eschew the evil and this satanic society, then you have the mark of Yahweh. You are part of the remnant. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua, and for the word of Elohim, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, better or for worse, Christianity prevailed in Europe, and Christian governance was the general way of life. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Verse 5 here contains only the words, this is the first restoration. Resurrection is not the correct word here. The beginning of verse 5 is an addition to the manuscripts, which found its way into certain texts after the 9th century AD. A Catholic scribe and commentator, Andreas of Caesarea, added it. The first restoration was the 1800s, the Industrial Revolution, population explosion, technology, Christians spreading the gospel, etc. It was one of the last times true Christianity flourished. Today, deceptions flourish. That's why those who are not deceived are the remnant. Verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first restoration. On such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Yahweh and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The word certainly exploded, and Christianity grew during the 1,000 years. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. This has already happened, and it is the very reason why all the nations and the world are deceived and under the control of the international Jew today. This process began with the De Medici popes and the acceptance of usury by Christendom, and culminated when the Jew was finally emancipated in Europe at the time of the French Revolution and Napoleon. Satan had surely been locked away. The Jews were kept apart from Christians for 1,000 years. Now with his emancipation, he was free to go out and deceive the nations with his cries for liberty, equality, and fraternity, and lies of diversity and democracy, which today have all the world's goat nations threatening the very existence of the white Christian race. Why hasn't anyone heard of the Byzantine Empire, which lasted about 1,200 years as a white Christian society? The Jews were kept in the ghettos and not allowed to be part of the society, not allowed to be teachers, bankers, hold office, or own people. The Jews were not oppressed, as they would have you believe. They were just simply kept out of Christian society, and they flourished. Did not Germany flourish when the Jews were kicked out? Did not America flourish before the Jew arrived? So we see in the New Testament, the remnant of Yahweh are those Israelites that are true Christians and follow his instructions.
We are the remnant, set us afire. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire. We are the remnant of the Yahweh, Lord, from all the nations of the world. We are the remnant, Lord, set our souls afire.